Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
1,400 and something on the way to 1,500. I have to go back and check how many, but we're on our way, y'all. Having said that, welcome. As we get ready to sit down and get down with the chefs for 2+ hours of good shit, courtesy of the loving Mad Scientist and all of us here at Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin of the Black Athlete Sports Network. With all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network. Special shout out to the mistress of Mount Airy, Cheryl Jones. We love you and miss you, sweetie. And a happy belated birthday to your ma and all the fellas. And, of course, your daughter as well. Now, we have a different approach tonight to stuff, as the brothers will be coming in. Radio Reggie out of Richmond, Virginia. Rick Hampton Senior out of Detroit. Mike Roberson out of Oakland, California. The Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Shaw from Philly. Pat Freeman from Western New York. And when the other brothers get in, they get in. Now, of course, with me as always is the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray.
Okay.
For almost 2 decades, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sport's most innovative and unique being, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunched blackathlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN.
Yes, sir.
Now, Michael, three things if we have the time.
Great.
Number one, in California, it'll be 95 degrees tomorrow.
I know y'all's roasting out there, yeah.
We have 3 major fires. Well, I see 4. 3 in the north. 1 in the south.
Damn.
It's become the number one fire in America and the United States.
I believe you.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Number 2. Venus Williams and Serena Williams will not be in the U.S. Open this year.
That's like the first time in a generation.
They're both withdrawing today.
Uh-huh.
Number 3. The New York Mets. And they have a brick wall, and they can't get over it. Those are my 3 for the day.
I thought Tony was coming in with that one. All right, well, now we're going to get to your 3 things in a bit, but I'm going to get to the mistress of Mount Airy, who is blessing us with a visit tonight. Cheryl, can you hear us?
Yes.
How are you, sweetheart?
Fine. Not going to be here long, guys.
I know. But you, what we were talking about earlier is going to step into my main topic. So you may as well come on in here and hit this bad boy hard. Now, you know there was a track meet last weekend. And one of the young ladies in it, Shikari Richardson, had been doing very well. She got bumped out of the Olympics. But after she lost the race, I was stupefied by the amount of dumb fuckery that happened as they were assailing this young lady's character. What you say to this?
I think it's horrible. They have to remember, First of all, disqualified for smoking weed. Michael Phelps smoked weed. They didn't put him the hell out of the Olympics. Second, she lost her mother. I haven't seen
one person
say, sorry for your loss.
That's right.
Young lady is going through something. She lost a parent. but she's not on her top game. She's human. But, you know, you get out there and fetch and make that money. Well,
that's right.
It happened.
Cheryl, you are so bang on with this, Cheryl. This leads into my main beef tonight. And this has to do with mental health and the black athlete. My brother Tony McClain is in the mix. Now, when Sha'Carri Richardson ran off her string of victories like she did, you know, everybody was like, oh, this is the next tie down here. This girl is bad. And she's confident, and there's nothing wrong with confidence. Whether you back it up or not, you have to believe in yourself, and it was clearly that Ms. Richardson did. But when her mom died prior to the Olympics, you know, nobody came out and said, you know, we're really sorry, Sha'Carri. You know, you need to heal. Here's, you know, get your private time. We'll leave you alone. All of that. They jumped on her ass and got mad at her because she lit a joint up and smoked it before the Olympics. Well, you know, you can't run now. Niggers are not allowed to smoke marijuana and run in the Olympics. So there was this delay. And all of a sudden now, here comes the race that everybody thought was going to be the Olympic race. You know, the Jamaicans are there. The Jamaicans are kicking ass. The Irish speed queens are just eating up turf. And Ms. Thompson and the other sisters from Jamaica, they just can up the turf. So they get the run finally. Here's the big race. You know, there hasn't been an anticipation for a race like this since the Ben Johnson, Donovan Bailey nonsense at the Olympics then. Where Johnson did steroids and, you know, got nasty. All right, so what happens? Richardson not only doesn't finish in the top three, she's last. And
no, she wasn't last. She was second to last. And
well, you know what I'm saying.
She was not last.
Here's my point. The winner, Ms. Thompson, set a world record, 10-5. Ninth place finisher ran 10-8. That's three fucking tenths of a second. In track, the difference between a world record and last place in this case was two strides. Two!
Yep.
And they won the, and they climbed all in her ass like it was nothing. And I think for all these guys who sit here and talk shit, and I'm talking to black ones too. I'm talking especially to black ones. You should be fucking ashamed of yourself. You could have done that story with a lot more objectiveness, both of the instance that 0.3 seconds meant the difference between first and last. You got into her ass because you didn't like what she was or what she said or her appearance. And if I go back to the death, this reminds me of Allen Iverson's practice nonsense because they climbed up in his ass because he said, I don't want to play. We're doing practice. You know, not a game, practice. They never prefaced it by saying, Iverson, one of his best friends, died. And they decided to run with that and make it all ha-ha and big fun and all that other horse shit. And it's like, fuck you. You already had one tennis player in Naomi Osaka who was feeling the pressure. Simone was feeling pressure. But nobody wants to comfort them and say, it's going to be all right. Get your black ass out there and perform for us, you stupid motherfucker. And this is where my attitude changes here. Because you have black people just as badly as white people trying to get the same shine and the same rise out of jumping in on shit. She lost the race. Okay, fine. You get them next time. She says, I'll be back. That's not enough for you motherfuckers? Fuck every one of you. All you motherfuckers
exactly.
Who try to be fucking cool. You're full of shit. You jumped on her ass unnecessarily. And you didn't say shit about the fact.
If you're black,
you didn't say shit about the fact that she lost her mother.
You
disrespectful motherfucker. All of you. I'm talking about Ryan Clark. I'm talking about Marcellus Wiley. Archer, who uses a team smart
you.
All of you motherfuckers. All of you. You're full of shit. You could have taken it in a whole different place and just said, hey, you know, she lost the race. You wanted to jump on her. And you didn't need any goading from the white assholes at ESPN either. So fuck all of you. You can go kiss my black ass and happy, hope you fall for your own asses and break your fucking necks. And now I think Tony McClain and Reggie are in the mix.
Yeah,
my,
you know,
Michael,
my,
Michael,
you know, the, how you really feel, Mike?
Michael, this is where African Americans have to take a stand. What I mean is this. It took you 119 years to recognize the black army guys in World War One. 118 years, man. Get out of here.
This is what is referred to where white supremacy has a black face. These assholes jumped at her like a bunch of trained fucking monkeys instead of thinking for themselves. Now, Ryan Clark, I like a lot. I respect his stuff a lot because he thinks when he's talking, and so does Emmanuel Acho. I like these two guys. But the rest of these motherfuckers just went in and piled on, not thinking that. You know what? It wasn't that long ago when the mouse was created that you saw clear evidence of malicious attitudes against black athletes. Dumb fuckery in the first degree. And all you
what
do is perpetuate it.
And nothing changed. And nothing changed.
Nothing
but see, Mike, this is the sad part about it. Okay, when we had a gymnast back in the Olympics and Negroes talking about her hair, we got Mr. Celebrity Snitch that comes on a certain radio show. I'm not going to say his name because the bottom line is the people know what I'm talking about. Standing there howling about too soon about her losing the race. A lot of times people who look like us are sitting here doing the damage of white supremacists and racism. It's A.K.C.
Listen.
Herschel Walker who wants to act like a damn chess cat and then promote white supremacy and racism.
Exactly.
Reg, Herschel's not acting.
Sir.
Herschel's not acting, unfortunately. That's
Herschel.
Yeah,
that's
that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's really.
One other thing, guys. When I saw all this stuff play out on Saturday, and I mentioned this to Mike when we were show prepping, you know, arguably the greatest athlete of our time, you know, over the last 50, 60 years, or most influential athlete of all time, went through the same stuff like this through the black folks. And, of course, I'm talking about Cassius Marcellus Clay. Now, we all know how the white folks felt about him, but you had the same vitriol with other black folks because he dared to be Now, if you saw the entire interview afterwards, she congratulated the woman that in front of
she
her.
She was very
but she also said, "I'm still the sixth fastest woman of all time. I'll come
she
back."
She didn't lie.
Now,
that's right.
Now, if you know track, you know, like you said, literally two strides. You know, it's immaterial whether she finished 8th, 9th, 15th, or what have you. She can come, you know, the world championship, you know, when she comes back and, you know, for the world championships or if anything else comes up again, she will finish in whatever. You know, again, she's still breathing. And I'd say that whether she had finished 3rd, 4th, or whatever. And first of all, you know, what's sad is, to me, they had more fun basically trying to, you know, step on her, and they didn't even give any glory to the three Jamaican beauties.
Jamaican sisters, exactly.
Who, and again, you know, the one girl, you know, set a world record.
A world record.
Yeah, but see again, there was an agenda here of they wanted, you know, folks could not wait for her to lose. And see, what is so sad is the whole thing of, you know, you need to be humble. And you know what? I understand to a certain extent that, but see, there's a difference. They weren't wanting her to be humble. They were literally gloating over. I mean, Let me relate a story to you. Let me relate a story to you from a few years ago.
I'm just at work,
and we're talking, and somehow or another, Serena Williams comes up in conversation, and another black woman just went crazy. She said, you know, she's gonna be a big fat bitch in 20 years. You watch. She's gonna be a big fat bitch in 20. I'm like, what is that on? What are you basing that on? I don't. She's just gonna be a big fat bitch in 20 years, and it's like. This was another black woman that, you know, and it is so, look, we're used to seeing, you know, women catfight with each other. That's a 2-hour show in and of itself. But the fact that you have black folks, male and female, that literally. I mean, they went so far to say her career is over. Now think about that. She is 21 years old. She is the sixth fastest woman in the history of track and field. And because she lost this one race, you are ready to say her career is over.
How fucking dare you? Because that's the truth. How dare they climb into this woman's character like that and assail her in such a manner? That was straight up bullshit. You know what? It wasn't that long ago. Jackie Robinson died for your fucking sins. He died because he had to sit there and take it for 2 fucking years. And then they said, well, you know, you are the designated black man. Now you must do this on behalf of all black people. And you can't retaliate for 2 years. But, you know, I bet you 3 years in, everybody said, oh, this motherfucker will fight back now. We better leave him the fuck alone. The man died early because of the stress that was put upon him where there was no balance. He was lucky he was married because he had no other source to turn to. He probably would have died a lot sooner. And then let's talk about Joe Louis, who made money for everybody but himself. When he added up all his money, the government said, oh, we'll take that. By the way, you owe us $100,000 more. That's bullshit.
Mike, it might be a stress on him about this thing. But Mike, I'm a take a stretch down. They had a wrestling match at Gary's hometown of the Raiders. 50,000 people there. They had one segment where the black female comes out and is the champion.
She comes
out, all of a sudden, here comes this Irish European woman, the man comes strutting ass out. We got 50,000 bloodthirsty people, the sum of a black female standing up being a champ. In less than 30 seconds, they script this woman getting knocked out and pinned within 30 seconds. Now think about that. Now think about that imagery. Once again, this European woman of Irish descent, they're going to make sure they have her white from Ireland come stroking up in there, stuck up on the person, and a slam.
Hold on, Gary, wait. I'm saving this for later. I want to get back to what Reggie just said, because the bottom line in all this shit has to do with the fact that when Jackie Robinson was trying to do what he had to do, there were black reporters who were simpatico with what he needed to do. They supported him. They were trying to be objective. They counted some of the venom that came from those white bastards in the press boxes. This is different. You got black people playing the same stupid fucking game instead of objectively looking at the situation. Like she said, she's still the sixth fastest woman in the fucking world. They can't do anything about that. That's fact. Facts kill bullshit. And bullshit was what those black reporters and so-called talking heads were serving. If you want to say she lost, yes, say she lost. Don't talk about her career is ruined because you don't like the way she looks or some other stupid. And by the way, her mother died. At least say your condolences for the fucking woman before you trashing on her.
That's too much.
Malcolm, you know, look, Malcolm said this best, you know, years ago in regards to the house Negro and the field Negro.
Yes.
And that's never changed. Before and after slavery, Reconstruction, all through that, because this is beyond crabs in a barrel. I mean, even the crabs would look at this and say, "What the fuck are you doing?" But he's not the only one. We've got, you know, they're all over, whether it's in politics, whether it's in media, whether it's in sports or what have you. What, you know, again, when stuff like this happens, it just, you know, and I know it may not, you know, resonate in the same sort of way, but all this means is that all of us have to dig a little deeper.
Yes.
We always have to dig a little deeper. We all, you know, even when things slowly are going good, we still have to keep our guard up. We still, we're never going to be allowed to relax. Because see,
exactly.
you have to remember, the very same people who were saying she should go to the Olympics are the very same ones now that are saying her career is over. How in God's name can you go from one extreme to the other? Just on a common sense level.
Go ahead, Professor.
Gentlemen, y'all got getting so emotional about this stuff because you all act like this the first time you're saying this and.
Fred, we know it's not the first time. We know it's not going to be the last time. But goddammit, we still have to talk about it, unfortunately.
And if that means
we're overly emotional, if that means we're overly sensitive, then you know what? Capital O, capital S. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Now. Back to my point. Okay. We're talking about a young youth. I just got on, but I think you're talking about one of the young ladies who ran track, right?
Shakari Richardson.
Shakari Richardson.
Okay. She's what, 20, 21 years old?
21 years old, yes.
Okay.
She's a baby.
You're talking about basing the world standard on children. Realistic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're talking about, go back, whether it was Yamaguchi or whoever else you want to name who was a gymnast. Because I was asked, how was it that the young lady from, I think Jersey, the real dark lady who ran the anchor in the 4x4?
Yep.
How is it she can run like that? And some of the other ones can't. Well, most of them are children. Do you realize she was one of the very few from the world, not just the United States, from the world who was bigger, faster, strong enough to do that. Most of them, remember how fast she laid them A&T was? And all of a sudden she got into competition? he was not mentally prepared for it, and that's just a long and short of it. And same thing happened to Hayes from Livingstone. He was just not mentally ready for it. And anyway, the young lady, the gymnast. Okay, there were people who were knocking her. The young lady who was swimming. There were the reporters mostly, but these people are 25 and under. Most time we say these are children, okay? And we're getting all ravenous about what children should do and what the new thing, because you know, as you watch the Olympics, everything was the greatest of all time. Everything, the fastest ever.
Of course, no bullying going on. Yeah, we know that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and because of that, you got to consider the source. These people who are out there pushing this thing to include even having the Olympics. One of the three worst places they could have had it, that's where they had it. And what happened? All of a sudden, it's over, and there's almost like there's a blackout where, I got to watch part of the championships on Saturday. They got back just in time to be on NBC to go back to Eugene, Oregon one last time and for somebody to die of COVID. And you know, for these people, there is something crazy out there that's telling us to go crazy. And the more you buy into it,
right,
the worse it gets.
Professor, that's the part that bothers me. The trend has changed. And now, instead of seeing somebody grow as they run, as they improve, their technique gets better, et cetera, they just wait. They're waiting. Okay, now. Trent Whitted has 3 wins so far. Is he going to win a 4th one? If he does, we can talk about him a little more. If he doesn't, we can write his black ass off. And this is done at the behest of white and black sports writers. And if you can't see what's being done,
Mike, we saw this with Tiger Woods. I mean, they couldn't wait for Tiger fail.
Yes.
I mean, this is the same old playbook. This is nothing
new.
Flojo, when she was at her height, they did the same thing here. And I got a better one. Althea Gibson was pushing tennis back in the day, and she got no sponsorship. She was trying to make a change in golf. The woman was always evil and upset. And better than that, the Williams sisters, how they did Richard Williams. The poor man is having 2 strokes, and finally they put a movie out there where Will Smith is starring. But look, he can't even enjoy the movie now because he's just like Muhammad Ali on his sickbed.
He's been beat
down.
We've
seen this act
before. That's my point. This is about mental health. Jackie Robinson, for what everybody wants to say, you know he was a mess because I am sure, I'm sure as I'm black, and born on April 30th, that he knew what had happened to him with regard to Major League Baseball. He even knew he was the patsy for it all. And it shortened his lifespan because of what happened, what went down. And now, in this world where it's got to journalism, and they don't give a fuck about facts, because the fact that Shakari Richardson laid on them, that she's the 6th fastest woman ever, that's a fact. The other fact is that she lost that
weight. Entertainment now.
And the other fact is that she may be back. And that's okay. Yeah. You know, you can lose a race. That's all right. But why are you going to jump in this woman and talk all this shit? You know, nobody gave a fuck about her mental health.
It's entertainment. It's entertainment. That's what they're doing. It's entertainment. Shit. Nobody's not here to have a family.
What we do at BSN, we don't do that.
Gary, when you write your articles, how many times do they steal your stuff? How many times do you get this? If we're going to talk about it, just have real talk now. Come on.
When
Professor
Witt
brings his history out, how many times do we sit up here and see regurgitated? And then they won't try to take credit for it. When young Travis is out here doing the NBA beat, how many times we see Travis out here trying to report? And guess what? He has to fight like hell to make sure this group gets the credit for it. Come on, we've seen this act before.
This is about reestablishing standards. You don't have to beat the band with a big press line or byline from anybody. All you have to do is tell everybody what the fuck happened. What did you see? You know, and shamefully, this takes away from the Jamaicans. The Jamaicans have worked hard for over 15 years to up their track game. Every year at the Penn Relay, they're there kicking ass. And now they come to the Olympics, and they do major damage. They ran 1, 2, 3 in the damn event. But see, we should be talking about them. But what we talk about and why it's talked about is at the head and at the heart of white supremacy. They wanted that woman in the worst way. You're not supposed to be like everybody else. You got on orange nails and orange hair and all this other old shit. You know, we don't like that. We want you to conform. We want you to be a good nigga.
Well,
you know,
well,
I ain't never heard anybody being in trouble for running a fucking race.
But, Mike, okay, let's calm down. Breathe, hold, okay? Because this is how you drive yourself into the same kind of situation that Robinson and some of the other ones did. Because I would even go so far as to say Jesse Owens had some of the same stuff, although he lived much longer.
Joe Louis as well, probably.
Yeah, I mean, hundreds of them, yeah. If not thousands, because we know that's the rule of thumb. And see, here you are spouting standards to people who ain't got none. You're trying to talk about principles to people who have proven not to be principled. As I told this lady today, who was questioning me relative to something that I'd written, I said, "Well, sweetheart, you have to understand. Yes, I've made a bunch of money off of ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly vendors, but still, that's what it goes back to."
Yeah.
ESPN goes to them, they come to me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, she said, why do you talk about them the way you do? It's because it's a fact and they don't want to deal with facts. I said, but the thing you got to think about is I take issue with them because they act like nothing happened before they came along.
Thank you.
Since they came along, it's the same thing that was done by the NCAA to the AIAW in the NABWA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's that? See, when you don't know your history, you miss something.
What it is. Yep.
Because the NABWA was an organization by black coaches and black schools. When they kept getting, you know, when you had the best basketball and some other sports, track and field being run by HBCUs, and only one and two teams going to the nationals. They started their own thing, and fortunately, to a degree, the NCAA stepped in. But see, the NCAA basically counseled. I mean, you know, a lot of schools lost their records because they turned them over to the NCAA, and the NCAA basically trashed them because to them. If it happened before they moved in, now remember, they spent probably 2 or 3 years worth of money in court trying to keep from having to have female programs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know one of the least talked about coaches who got 1,000 wins is Ms. Stringer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, who is she?
She's
the one who kicked ass against such people as Pat Summitt. And I would never, you know, and I think the world of what Pat Summitt did, because see, a friend of mine was in school at Tennessee at the time Pat Summitt was at her peak. And more people will come in and see Rocky Top being sung for the women's games than the men.
That's right.
And
no doubt about it.
They cover their behind by hiring a black coach.
Mm-hmm.
Although they didn't support him worth shucks, they hired a black coach. And they had his son on the team, so they thought that would be a real good selling point. But you know, the reality is we have been so, again, like I said last week and several other times actually, we're in a country where up is down and down is up and sideways is on each end. And reason they say stuff like that is we can't, you all think y'all got problems with the sports thing? Let's go back to something a little more real, like voting rights and this kind of thing. We have a black lieutenant governor in North Carolina who says racism doesn't exist. And you should have seen that fool Monday arguing against this. The General Assembly of North Carolina is now regulating what is to be taught in history classes and in history and social study classes.
Wow.
And the stuff they won't talk is back to Mike. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. But they don't care.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And I don't know whether they found this Negro. But fortunately, so far, I don't see me. I can't get a full bio on him, so I don't know where he went to school. I know he went to Guilford Tech. I don't know where he went to, finish his degree and stuff. But hopefully he didn't go to an HBCU. But even if he did, I just take a baseball bat to his fat ass and be done with him.
No shit, Fred. See, now Fred just made my point. Because the mantra that the professor has always said, as long as I've known him, we got to tell our own stories. And we do. And we need to. And when we have black people getting in the way of that shit because they won't be objective, and they want to carry on a fucking agenda so they can get a fucking check? No. Fuck all of them. And I mean all of them. You know, this is where the difference between profanity and profanity gets twisted. Now, if you say a 7 or 4 or 12-letter pejorative, yeah, you may be saying a profanity. But if you find out why the person is saying it, that's the issue, and that's the heart of what the profanity really is. And the profanity is that you can't afford to be objective with black athletes. You don't like the fact that Naomi Osaka is doing what she's doing and she's trying to protect her mental health. No, you really can't lash out loud at her, though, because, she's quiet and reserved and whatnot, so she's not one of them low-riding-ass niggas. So you have to be careful with how you talk to her only because the world's watching your ass. You didn't give a fuck what you said about the Williams women. Tony just said it himself. Some sister said, she's going to be a fat-ass bitch 20 years from now. Never mind all the titles she's won. Never mind what she's done for women's tennis. Never mind that a black kid saying, I learned and I was inspired by Venus and Serena Williams.
You look at the National Football League.
National Football League. They do not want general managers. They do not want presidents. They do not want owners. They do not have mercy. They do not want quarterbacks.
There is a prophet, and they stay on him.
But see, Gary and Mike, they proved themselves with that a long time ago. Because see, just go back through, and I'll just use the Rooneys because that's an easy line to follow. Okay, they had a franchise that had been horrendous on its best day and horrible to disgusting on the rest of the days.
True.
They bring in a coach. They gave him the resources and support that he needed.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't think he was the only person who knew anything. But anyway, he survived almost 20 years. Long story short, it's been, 40-plus years? and
yep.
they're on the third coach.
Yep.
And only, hold on. And only one has been black.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it has come out now about Bill Nunn and his the work he did, a black man
yep.
who helped put all that stuff together.
They finally sung his songs.
But my point is this. Think about all them stupid-ass, dumb-ass white boys who have been hired and fired at some of these other places to include the one with the star.
That's
and
right.
Part of that is the fault. But see, that proves right there. It starts with ownership and works its way down and back up.
That's exactly right.
You know, they don't want black coaches other than lowly assistants. They don't want blacks in the front office, and they really don't want black quarterbacks.
No,
But this is where it's at, and they are willing to suffer these lawsuits because they have found a pool of people stupid enough to pay them to be mediocre on their best day and lousy on their worst
day. That's what I'm talking about. Mike Tomlin has won every year. I'm sorry, go for it.
Well, you saying what I'm saying because, bless his heart. Mike Tomlin had something that neither Chuck Knowles nor not a coach who followed him had, and that is, he hasn't had what they had, and that's called a losing season.
Thank you. Longevity.
You got a generational curse there because you had Davis, now you got the young Davises, and it ain't getting no better.
Yeah, Al ain't no genius as far as I'm concerned. He should have just left Marcus Allen fuck his daughter and leave the whole situation alone. But I digress. The issue, as Fred stated, is that Mike Tomlin has won every year he's been there. And I know there's some who want to get his black ass out of there, and there's some so-called Steeler faithful that would like nothing better than to get his black ass out of there. But you see, longevity has its price, and the price is I will be good even when my team's not. I will be able to guide my team through hardships when injuries and other things set us apart and hurt us. But we'll always play hard, and we'll always be in a position to win. That's what Tomlin's done all these years. They can't take that from him. And the Steeler hierarchy knows that. So, you know what? Yeah, we'll pay him because he's doing his job. It should be that simple. But for too many of these organizations, it's not. Because we already know.
Michael, you have an organization in Texas who was breaking the rules. They were suspended their coaches, they fired their manager, and then what they get? They get Dusty Baker to come in. What does Dusty Baker do? Baker says, okay, I'm going to take this team. I'm going to win with this team. That's exactly what he's done.
But you see, no matter what Dusty does, and if he's taken five teams to postseason, God bless him because he's a great coach. However, for everything that Dusty Baker's doing, nobody says shit about Cito Gaston. Cito Gaston won World Series back-to-back in 92 and 93, and he's more invisible than damn Waldo is. They never talk about how great a coach he was. And, of course, he did it with a team that was in Canada, so it doesn't count because it's not an American team. It's that kind of horseshit that has to be dealt with. You know, when you can make up things like
we're beating a dead horse here to a degree, and that's because we have teams out here who have been good, they've been real good, and then they have been horrendous on their best day, and really horrendous on their worst days, and because they're in good big markets. They know that they can sell tickets, whether it's L.A., whether it's Dallas, whether it's New York.
Now, you know, that's a good point.
Think about it this way. I think it was Dutch last week. We made mention of the team we made mention of the Rust Belt teams, and I just pulled one out of the hat. Detroit. Not to malign them, Chicago and Detroit. Okay, when is the last time they have been decent? And when I say decent, I mean win at least one more game than they lost.
Yeah.
And then you got guys from those teams who are making All Pro, probably going to be Hall of Fame. And think about it, the only smart thing that the Detroit team has done was ship that moron off the head playing quarterback.
That's true.
The one who couldn't hit a 6'5", 225, 30-pound wide receiver going down the field. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Go back and listen to some of the games. I think it was last night or in the last couple of nights I was watching. My due diligence, I watch a game so I can see how to score when doing stats and that kind of stuff. And I see this pass to a guy where the quarterback was throwing the ball out of the end zone.
Yes.
Yes, it was a double crossing pattern underneath, but it was handled. I mean, it was handled. If he'd have thrown it to either one of those guys crossing, it was going the other way, probably all the way.
Right.
And they said, and this is what I heard. Oh, that was a perfect pass. The ball had it been thrown at the goalpost, it would have gone over the crossbar.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a perfect pass. It was a perfect pass. I can't see how they missed that.
Oh, listen. This is par for the course.
You're talking about the BS that's going on now and its believability. This is where we have had so many doses of this nonsense in sports because we sit there and listen. Because as long as the beer's cold, the popcorn and the chicken wings and whatever, and the dip and all that stuff is good, sweet, sour, how we like it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you accept things like that, and then when you accept things like that so long, then you can look out the window and say, hey, why are all those people just standing around on the step of the Capitol?
Exactly. Now, you know what? This is exactly what Tony and I were talking about the other night.
Those are just visitors.
Tony and I were talking about the fact that Cam Newton had thrown a pretty good game. And it looked like he was back in sync. And then Ted Johnson, who was a formula large neck linebacker for New England, said,
Mike, he has no neck. Let's just establish that now.
Right.
The man has no neck.
I stand corrected. But this motherfucker gets on. Well, that's copyrights on Cam because he was making his throws under max protection. Excuse me? Why don't you just speak English, bitch? He may have thrown under max protection, but he still had to hit the receivers in the patterns. If he has max protection, then he's got a full line of sight along the offensive line so he can throw in any lane he wants to.
And Mike, last I checked, doesn't every quarterback in pro, college, little league, TV football want to have max protection? Isn't that how the game is played?
That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, he could have just simply said, Cam Newton, he took his read, he looked for his receivers, he got rid of the ball on at least five of those receptions. He took five step drops. And see, he could have said these things. He chose to go another way because he could. He did
there have been Mr. Lawrence. He would have said, oh, what a beautiful pass he made.
Of course.
It's a shame that nonchalant, no good receiver didn't catch that ball. That was not only, you know, that only skipped across the ground twice before it got to him.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
But see the other thing too that you all are overlooking, since we're dealing with facts. So if he was getting mass protection in the NFL against a professional team, so you're telling me that they were allowing New England's offensive lineman to hold
to beat
this, whoever was playing the same way they used to get or be allowed to hold when that other gentleman was playing quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Giselle's husband. Yeah.
Giselle's boyfriend. Exactly. Yeah. And this is the kind of tripe that keeps getting served, and some fans accept it because they don't know no better. And I'm serious about the mental health aspects about this. You know, now, I hope that Naomi gets it back together, because I can feel her pain when she's doing what she's doing now. She's in uncharted territory. If she hadn't won any tournament at all, nobody would say shit to her, and she would be whatever the pejorative word is for a mixed ethnic girl in Japan. They wouldn't call her a champion. You know,
Gaijin.
She'd be just another whatever you
Gaijin.
Want. Yeah, she'd be another Gaijin. Okay, and that's nasty. But see, when you got black people going along with this because they think that's what's supposed to be done, that shows their lack of intelligence. And I'm not surprised, because when Marcellus Wiley said that Colin Kaepernick wasn't black, I just lost my damn mind. I'm like, stop. You know, you wasted an Ivy League education showing your stupidity. And I don't like going after these brothers, but the bottom line is, you said it, and you need to be accountable for it. You don't have
Mike,
a fucking clue what that man went through.
Mike, when it comes to that whole idea of Ivy League, Ivy League schools would educate blacks and then would turn around for over 50 years and wouldn't hire them.
This is how. That's right.
There's a famous picture of about five black PhDs from Harvard on the steps of some building at Howard University back in the 30s or 40s.
Yes.
And to include one John Hope Franklin.
Yep.
You know, we marvel at the young doctor who's up there now doing all of the documentaries and all that kind of stuff. But
right.
One of his mentors was Dr. John Hope Franklin, a proud Fisk graduate who ended up going to Harvard to get his PhD and all that kind of good stuff. But so it tells you the people that you're talking about in glorifying as Harvard, I mean, realistically, they have a long tradition of being first-rate redneck assholes.
Yep.
Especially when it comes to black folks.
True.
You know, think about it. Why was W.B. Du Bois at Fisk, or why was he at these other schools? Yes, he went there, and he became the first to graduate from HBCU, the first black to graduate from Harvard and all that kind of stuff, with a PhD and all that kind of good stuff.
Yep.
But he got PhD, and they wouldn't even consider his application. Forget hiring him.
Yeah.
They would not even consider his application. Exactly.
So, but you. So when we start talking about standards, sometimes we gotta weigh them a little different, because you gotta consider the fact that when you look at the different ones, and like this guy was talking about, you know, everybody, the big deal right now is how many people are going to be at Orange Blossom next weekend. And it was going to be, you know, that goat thing, you know, and I wish they'd just dump that, the goat thing, because the greatest of all time, wait a minute, let's go back. Let's check Miami. Let's check the other major stadiums in Florida. So you're telling me before, prior to 1969, was not part of all time, because Dave Gaither was doing this 70
Thank
years
you.
Ago.
That's right.
Dave Gaither was doing this 60 years ago.
Don't let those facts get in the way, Professor.
And see, I can't wait to hear how the young lady is going to spin this, because remember, the one who's calling the game, if I'm not mistaken, is a young lady who is a graduate, who is a proud Orange and Green graduate of FAMU. And see, her cohort is a graduate of Howard University.
Yeah.
Now, yes, he got started out at Long Beach State, but he ended up at Howard. I mean, and did a pretty decent job. He played, I think we did one, maybe two of his games while he was there.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm interested to see how much they muzzle her.
Yeah, I hope she gets in their ass for real. And Tony, what makes this even worse is that you can't blame Whitey for this shit. You know, these are black crabs in that fucking barrel.
Yeah, and see, the wounds hit deeper when it's from within. And that's what makes this even worse here in regards to that. But you know, I guess in a sense you have to try to take some small wins if you can. Teddy Bridgewater was named the starter for the Broncos today.
Right.
So as of right now, that guarantees at least 8 starters opening day, barring injury or what have you.
Are they playing the Carolina Panthers?
I don't. Who's
that?
Could
be interesting.
I think they're actually playing the Giants opening day. Yeah, they're actually
I mean,
the Denver. Denver
I mean,
the,
just during the during the year, are they playing
during the year?
Carolina Panthers?
Let me check. Give me one quick second. I will let you know. I have a Denver schedule right
now.
Now,
Professor, because you're down there in that neck of the woods, has the criticism, if any, about Bridgewater being harsh?
They're not playing them this year, by the way. They're not playing them this year.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me be delicate. The people in North Carolina are trying to figure the team out, because the first preseason game, I think the starters did one series and something. A few starters did the first series and walked off the field. Most starters were
PJ Walker was playing most of the game.
To be fair, all the teams are doing that. Well.
Okay. Now this week they're playing the Steelers. I hope they do the same thing, because my guys need to get rest too. If they're gonna rest.
Well, across the state of North Carolina,
the reality is there are some people who are just so glad to have football back. They cheer for Carolina Panthers and Carolina Tar Heels, and in the reality, the book that just came out on the Carolina Tar Heels is getting more play on air than the Carolina Panthers. That's my read. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay.
they and the one the people who see them, all they can say is they sorry as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad because one of the young men who's playing Joe Horn's son, you know,
yeah.
Joe Horn is from Fayetteville. And his son, Joe Horn's son is playing cornerback for the Panthers.
He's okay. Probably gonna be a starter. Probably gonna start the year too.
Because I think last year he played along with Deion's son down in South Carolina.
Okay.
I think that's where they were. So, you know, he will probably develop into a pretty good corner, but you know, it's gonna take a while. But you know, like I said, he's just turned 21. And
okay.
He's like, so
he's got a future ahead of him.
But he has a leg up on a lot of people because he grew up in a pro home, that, which is what the Sanders boys kind of have in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, though, to be real, Deion's son is just a 19-year-old who just got out of high school.
Yeah.
Now, starting him at quarterback is cool, but you got to understand. There is something to be said for maturity. And
this is true.
And see the problem that I was listening to somebody talk about the kid from Texas A&M from a few years back, and both of them turned out to be jackasses.
Mm-hmm.
But they were saying, you know, there were things about those kids that should have been corrected as freshmen that they were allowed to slip through because of who they were and all this kind of stuff, and they let it go. And I remember listening to some quarterbacks from Grambling talk to some quarterbacks from another school, and they were laughing about
Kevin Murray.
Everybody think they talk about how much they got away with. Hell no, he said my coach would tell you quick, you're a quarterback, your standards got to be higher than anybody on the field, and if you ever intend to play for me, you going to have them kind of standing. He said, well, so you were starting quarterback? He said, no, I was third, fourth string at the time. But he was letting me know if my standards didn't come up to par on and off the court, off the field, I was never going to play.
Here's a thought. All of us on the thread, do you think that teams are more interested with their quarterback winning games or being their de facto CEO? And putting on the image thing. What's more important to them, you say?
You're talking about NFL? Okay.
Yeah.
NFL or college? NFL? I think it's definitely college driven. I think it has been for years. Because when you realize, you know, not even talking about now, but you know, when you realize what Willie Thrower went through, when you realize what Chris Pollard went through, when you realize what James Harris went through in Buffalo, in L.A., in San Diego, what Doug went through in Tampa, when he clearly was and in many ways still is the greatest quarterback that ever played for Tampa.
That's right.
You have to look at the history. And the sad thing is that double standard is still there, especially at that position. And again, because like you said, the whole, you know, in their eyes, the quarterback is the pseudo CEO face of the franchise. I'll give you a perfect example. It's one that gets lost in the sauce, but it needs to be said. Going into his first season with the Miami Dolphins, Cam Cameron, and we all remember how that season played out.
Yep.
Now, he had Dante Culpepper and Trent Green in camp. Now, clearly in that preseason, for whatever it's worth, you know, Culpepper – played better in the preseason leading up to the regular season. But what he but what Cameron said, he's starting Trent Green because he's more comfortable with him.
That's
now,
exactly what he said. I remember
now see,
that.
Now see the thing is, both players had already been in the league basically the same amount of time. Culpepper, Culpepper actually had been to the playoffs, and Green never did. Green, I think, never got to a playoff, never won a division or whatever. He wasn't a Pro Bowler until very, very late in his career. Culpepper had been the more accomplished player. Now, again, we always go back to that best man play. I mean, remember, we didn't mention how the Steelers screwed over Jefferson Street Joe. We didn't talk about how the Raiders screwed over the Lord's Prayer. It's that institutionalized racism now. And to bring it forward, now, again, we saw the other night, you know, the Patriots put 35 up on the Eagles. Both men, both Cam and Jones, played well. But of course, the local, you have the one of the local yokels basically trying to say, hey, pump the brakes on Cam because they actually played good for him and you can't have that. And then, literally 2 days later, you have this, as they call, he had a false negative, and now he's basically in COVID protocol again. Now he'll be able to play Sunday, I guess, when they play their last preseason game. But again, it's when you see, please wait, when a Tyrod Taylor gets mistakenly given a needle by his own fucking trainer.
Exactly.
And you can't make this stuff up. It's not playing conspiracy theory. It's not being paranoid. It happens. It keeps happening. Remember, Jefferson Street Joe had a winning record when they sat him down. He had a winning record. He was 4-1-1 when he was sat down. Now, would history have changed a bit if Jefferson Street Joe was the guy that led the Steelers to the Super Bowls? Absolutely.
Even if it had happened that way and Steelers won with Gillum at quarterback, they'd have said, oh, that defense is so great, anybody could have quarterbacked them one. And they would have treated him like they treated Trent Dilfer. Because they knew Trent Dilfer was a shit, but they won in spite of Baltimore's great defense.
And see, this has been a narrative that has gone on for years in the National Football League. I just wanted to answer your question in a historical sense, because let's face it, it's always been there. Now, in colleges, thank goodness for the HBCUs, because you've had great quarterbacks that have come out and are still showing out in there. But unfortunately, at a lot of these white colleges where, again, we're basically your boosters and all your other folks are basically sort of running the program, they go back and forth. Now, look. You will get the odd instance where there's going to be play where they rally around somebody, but it's few and far between. Oh, by the way, just to piggyback on what Fred was talking about in regards to the Steelers, basically, Dwayne Haskins Jr. is going to start the final preseason game. It's basically
him.
Now that's the good news. The bad news is basically him and Dobbs are basically fighting for the third string quarterback
job.
So it doesn't look like they're going to keep it now. Now, in the best case scenario, it's looking more and more like Haskins is going to be your number three guy in Pittsburgh, which means Dobbs may be out of the job. Now, that may not be so terrible because, of course, Dobbs has to say that Dobbs has a future away from football would be an understatement. But you would hope that if he does wind up getting cut, that someone else will give him that someone else will give him a look-see. You know, we hope that, you know, in a, but unfortunately, knowing the NFL the way we do and knowing the history of how stuff like this plays out, he may have played his last game, which is not a terrible thing because Lord knows the man's got a hell of a lot more going for himself than a lot of guys away from the field. That's probably the reason why they're trying to cut him, because they're afraid that he'll be smarter than all of them, you know, in that sense. And again, we saw how they literally bum rushed Myron Roll from Florida State when he came into the league, and they had the nerve to possibly become a Rhodes Scholar. We can't have that.
All right, so I guess I'll leave and become a brain surgeon. And he did. But here's the irony in places like Denver where we're happy for Teddy being the starter in Denver. But it wasn't that long ago. Marlon Briscoe came in when they lost all their quarterbacks, set a record for touchdowns thrown by a rookie, and the next year was eighth on the depth chart. Now think about that. Eighth. How the fuck do you become eighth on a depth chart at a position? I've never heard of anybody being that far down from any position. Have you all?
No.
Mike, remember, he was short.
Lamar Jackson, all 6'4" of him, was too short as well.
He's too short too.
Well, we got Lance playing well.
You know what? If they can, at this point in time right now, if they can get something for Garoppolo, they'll have, put it this way. He may, him, Fields, and a few other folks may not start opening day, but I think by midseason, if not sooner, all three of them are going to start at some point this year. I think, to quote T.O., it's just a matter of time.
Yeah,
you know, and with some of them it may be sooner. Because see, Nagy, to his credit, Nagy did name Dalton as the starter. They're going to uphold the whole, they can use the excuse of the whole Crash Davis sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as we saw last year in Philly, you know, talent will out at some point in Chicago. They may have to go through another 3-14 season. I keep forgetting 17 games in 18 weeks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But let's put it this way. There's still not, you know, again, we had 11 black quarterbacks start last year, most ever in NFL history for opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Still, you know, the outside possibility that can either be equaled or eclipse. We'll see. You know, Teddy being named basically makes it, I believe, now 4-4 in the conference. So
that's right.
Yeah. So, again, there's a small possability of possibly two more with out in Frisco and out in I guess you can't say Chicago now because they named Dalton. But you never know.
Yeah.
We're still a long way away from opening day.
I give San Francisco a lot of credit because Lance came out there and just seriously lit it up. And they would be foolish to stick him on the bench knowing that this kid has been almost instant offense or very effective running the team since he came in. Now,
okay,
I would say
Michael,
if
you get... I'm gonna tell you what
you're talking
about here. Okay. My first thing out here is Mr. Trey Lance has not seen a real NFL defense.
Of course they say that. I know.
What the hell are you talking about?
Exactly. No, look, Gare, you have to remember how they're going to play it. Now, see, you know what? Now, see, if they said, well, Garoppolo has been to a Super Bowl, I could almost be like, okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Because as opposed to Andy Dalton, who basically watched the Super Bowl every year like all five of us online here, so he's never so that's the closest he's come to a Super Bowl. But see, sure. they don't even use their own ass backwards logic. Their own ass backwards logic comes back and bites them in the butt. Because basically they're using the same, the same excuse that they went after Cam in Foxborough is basically the same excuse they're going to try to keep Lance on the bench in San Fran.
If Cam hadn't hit those passes, he would have said, even under max protection, Newton was ineffective. You know, these cocksuckers do this shit to twist it all. You know, it wasn't enough. He got mad that Cam was successful, so he went negative in the analysis, emphasis on anal, about what Newton did. He should be grateful that he can hit receivers under max protection, because I've seen a whole bunch of white quarterbacks that couldn't even do that shit under max protection. But I digress. The bigger issue here is who is saying what, and that's what troubles me. And that's what these black reporters need to fucking understand. I ain't saying you got to be blackity black and root for your black players and all that shit. When they fuck up, say you fucked up. Like when the sister lost the race, she lost the race. She'll be back, but she lost the race. And do you appreciate her cockiness because she says she'll come back strong? Fine. Say that shit. But also say she lost the race. You don't need to say that she got obliterated. You got that same taste for blood that some of your white counterparts have. Oh, yeah, I only get to keep my job if I trash them just like the white writers do, stupid fucks.
By the way, don't ignore the other three black women who did finish 1, 2, and 3, by the way.
But then again, don't let
facts get in the way, Mike, at the end of the day, I'm tired of waiting for certain black media to have a come to Jesus day. They, you know, unfortunately, they're more.
I just as soon
have a small group of folks who are all on the same page, as opposed to a large group where one is talking about this, the other one's talking about this, and the other one's talking about this. And that's probably the saddest part here in regards
to... I wasn't going to bring this up because, you know, humility is a trait that looks strong in me. But Lloyd Vance, if you remember this guy, Lloyd Vance had the nerve to email me when I was talking about black quarterbacks. And his email was directed, you seem to know a lot about black quarterbacks, but you don't know as much as me. That was basically just what he was saying. And so he gets 5-10 seconds on NFL talking about other quarterbacks and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's what you're worried about? I mean, that was pitiful. And when he came on, he only came on to try to further the point that he made because he's in with the NFL. Well, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, anybody can be a bridge builder, and they'll say that this guy was the greatest bridge builder of all time. But suck one cock. You're a cocksucker for life, but I digress.
Yeah, it's going to look... One of the reasons why Roland Rogers and others put together what we're doing is because the black athlete, whether it be male, female, or what have you, is the most innovative and most imitated being in all of sports, whether it be pro sports, college sports, high school, pee wee, or what have you. And yes, you know, the sad thing is so much of the stuff that we still see going on has been going on for years. But it's the sort of thing, you know, it still needs to be brought out because, you know, if you sort of like, you know, let it simmer or sort of ignore it, then it becomes, then it becomes normalized. And see, we cannot keep normalizing bullshit, especially when it keeps repeating itself in different forms. It's basically the same form, but now it's done in a more sophisticated, slick sort of way. But it's still bullshit. You know, a pig in a dress is still a pig in a dress. No matter how much mascara, no matter how much, you know, you fluff the hair or what have you, it's still a damn pig in a damn dress. And it still needs to be pointed out. And again, we're not going to solve the world's problems here with all of that, but it needs to be brought up because, see, the sad thing is the more and more we see things, we're closer to 1822 than we are 2020. I mean, I'm sorry, 1821 as opposed to 2021. Because the mentality is still there, and that's the thing that needs to be brought. But again, this is why, like Greta said, we have to write our own stories. We have to but also I think it behooves us to, when you see someone that truly does, that literally and figuratively rebels in their field Negro, house Negro thing, they need to be brought out.
Let me go back to where we started at the top of the hour. You know, this young lady, Shikari Richardson, if she decides to make a living at track, she could stay in Europe and make money. We know this. You know, she said she's the sixth fastest woman. That will add up to a lot of bank in the meets over there, because track is a main sport there next to football, soccer, that is. And there wouldn't be a conversation to the level of what we're at or where we had to go if she had regular hair and didn't have the crazy-ass nails or any of that stuff. You know, she made herself what she was because she was what she was. She wasn't trying to be different. She was different. And different is okay. But when we fall in line with the same oppressors doing the same shit, and we can't see what's being done, then we are in an age of dumb fuckery the likes of which these eyes have never seen.
Very much. Well, Mike, one of the posts I put up, I think it was yesterday or today, I said that this whole hype, the hype about black college HBCUs is going on now, is all it is white people seeing what we've known for years.
Exactly.
We have to tell our story. And, you know, well, as you all know, that I'm not that big of a fan of Coach Prime nor all this stuff that's surrounding him. But one thing I do agree with him on was when he was talking about when they had the media day for the SWAC. He said, "Where's the black dress?" I agree.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like we lost a giant a little week ago in Sam Davis, who has written for the black paper in Winston, as well as the journal, and he served as a SID at Winston for a short time. But anyway, you know, people like that are slowly dying away, because I think Sam is actually younger than me. But you know, when we look, where is the black media? Because I know I talked to one person who works for a black paper that is Shaul Amin on name, and the reality was if that person couldn't, she was not going. I think she was going to
No, she was going to Charlotte because it was close. But she wasn't going to Hampton. She wasn't going to, I think, Atlanta or wherever. And she was going to try to zoom everything else.
Right.
And it's because of, you know, it's a small operation and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the reason we know so much about HBCUs and football, basketball, or whatever it is we know, is that back in the day, we not only had newspapers, we supported our newspapers.
Exactly.
Our newspapers back then was our internet. They still are, because where you can find them on microfilm or digitized.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the pictures are great, the stories are great. Whether it was Lacey or whoever, you know, you go down the list. They did their job well. You know, can you imagine that Colin Nicholson, SID at Grambling, who went to pick up his clothes and end up with a job, you know, for 30 plus years, actually. He wrote.
I believe it.
And he did what his president wanted done. He made Grambling the most popular black college and one of the most popular colleges in the nation because they were asking on this polls the other night. They said, well, why did all these people vote for Grambling? He said, well, one of the people said, well, when you look at all the other schools, even if a person is a total novice, he knows what he's heard of Grambling, so he'll vote for Grambling. And I said, you know, you think about it, the job that was done there has to be done other places. Just like, you know, we see that with AMU, you know, because I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, you know, there's certain things you can about black colleges. You say, well, you want to. Did they get proper publicity? Well, most of them did. A lot of them did. A lot of them didn't. But I said, but you go down the list and you say, you know, you say the 100, you say the 101, the Boom. You know, there are people who already right on top of their head know. Oh, he was talking about Southern. He was talking about Grambling. He was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fam, you talking about South Carolina State.
Listen.
And I said, you know, when you do that kind of job back then with the kind of resources or lack thereof, you know, we got to continue doing that kind of thing now. I mean, too much information gets out on college presidents, bless their souls. I'm all for them, but they don't win ball games. They don't coach winning ball games.
I still believe there's a strong revenge of the nerves mentality with a lot of these people in the administrations of the HBCUs, and it sickens me. You know, right now, if I were to tell somebody that the Kansas City Chiefs won Super Bowl IV in spite of the fact the best quarterback on the team wasn't playing at quarterback, you know, they would have to say, what you talking about, Willis? And I would tell him Jim Carney had the best arm in the league at that time, and he was playing safety. He should have been playing quarterback. As much as Len Dawson was a decent quarterback, Carney was better in my humble, but, you know, what do I know?
And remember, his best receiver was on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
One Otis.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne
is that's not the only one, because – I was watching, again, doing my due diligence. I was watching a game with Houston and the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
On one side, you had John Stallworth, but guess who was running the ball on the other side? His quarterback.
Yep.
You know, his quarterback had moved to running back and was starting by the third game of the season. And because I've heard people talk about, you know, they talk about how smart he was. He said, well, how can you say that? Well, because he grasped the offense in a matter of days. And had he not grasped the offense in a matter of days, he was gone because of how they had on the team.
That's right.
And because he was such a hard runner, in spite of the fact he had been a quarterback, he still made the team as a running back, and did his last thing with Wilson. You know,
so Ted Johnson.
And matter of fact,
Mel Blount will tell you, he was quite a hard runner because he planted Mel one time, and you know Mel he was a rookie, but Mel wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Listen, so for Ted Johnson, your big dummy, this is what you should have said in analyzing Cam Newton. Newton made his reads. He hit the right receiver each time. He got the guys down the field. He was consistent in moving the team. And we could make an argument that he could be the starting quarterback. You know, but see, he wants to tell you about Max Patek, but he wasn't telling you that in five of those passes, he had a five-step drop and was hitting his receivers. In one, he had a three-step drop and hit his receiver. Yes, under max protection. But wherever the ball needed to go, it was going to the right place. So this is what bothers me about these motherfuckers in the press box. See, because they can say anything they want. And sometimes they will say anything they want except the fucking truth. And if you can't hold these people accountable to that, then you're going to get a shit show all season long. And that is why the field generals need to be on point, because you know these motherfuckers will try to trash them at any opportunity.
Oh, sure. Sure. That's you know, unfortunately, this has been a lifelong tradition in the NFL. Because think about that. He's basically telling you because he was given good line protection, that's the only reason why he was able to perform. Now, again, doesn't every – I mean, I can't think of any quarterback in the league that, oh, no, y'all don't block. I need to learn how to play the ball. I need to learn how to play the game when y'all ain't blocking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Think about how far they're willing to go just to whatever. Now, look – it's not going to surprise me if Mac and Cheese winds up starting for the Patriots. It won't surprise me a bit. You know, same thing with Garoppolo in San Fran or what have you, because they still have to, you know, the hero must be white all the time. You know, if the Lone Ranger, look like Avery Brooks, it would be a hell of a different show.
No shit. Johnny, we better get quiet then. Different.
No, I was saying it would be a different show if he showed up black for real, as they say he was, and then he showed not only a black man on a white horse, that don't work.
Oh, yeah.
Hide
the red meat and white women. You know, look who's coming
Come
to dinner.
On. That's exactly right. Gary, I want to get more from you in terms of how this season is shaping up. Now, I know we're going to be keeping an eye on the field generals all season long. But because Gruden is there in Las Vegas, he's going to control the spin. Has there been any time last season and even up to now as they're making their picks for starters that you feel like it's not going to be worth watching a Raider game because you're not getting the straight dope?
John Gruden is a clown. A-C-L-O-W-N, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I'm there is because you have one of the worst defenses in the league.
There you go, making sense again, Gary.
See, Gary, you don't know how to build a team.
It's searching for identity. What I mean is this. You are the Oakland Raiders. You are the L.A. Raiders. Now you're the Las Vegas Raiders. Folks, you can't be all three of them. Okay? Do they play the same? That's the first thing they got your identity. When you see the Pittsburgh Steelers, what is the identity of the Pittsburgh Steelers? It's defense.
Kicking off my ass. Go ahead.
And that too. but the identity of the black and silver is missing. And until we get identity, we're going to lose. We're going to consistently lose.
Gary, I have the utmost sympathy for the black and silver and all that kind of good stuff.
Get yourself three shovels for this conversation.
I hear the remorse just dripping from him.
No, but let me ask you guys a question.
Okay, here's what I'm getting at is at least they're not like the Cleveland Browns who moved out and moved back.
They could have been
the Cleveland Raiders.
No, but you don't sign a traitor back with your team. As far as I'm concerned, John Gruden is a traitor, and he'll always be a traitor because of what he did with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I will never like John Gruden because of that.
Do a lot of people there agree with you, Gary, because of what he did?
Yes.
And they got 7 more years of this guy.
No, he's gone.
You don't think he's gonna finish out the contract?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Hey, for your sake, I hope, you know. And it's sad. I think it's even worse because even over the last few years, their defense was basically keeping them in the game. Now it didn't help that they traded the one guy who was making all the tackles.
One trade in Chicago undermined the whole defense.
Now, Gary, I forgot. Was it 3 packs of cream of wheat or was it 2 packs of cream of wheat that they got from them? I forget. Or did they throw in more? Did they throw in? Did they throw in? Did they throw in? Did they throw in some maple and some?
I want my maple. I like maple.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's nothing more embarrassing than seeing the results of your trade live and in living color. Khalil Mack goes on it with either Sunday night or Monday night game or Sunday night. And as a Chicago Bear, he beats the Seattle Seahawks almost single-handed because he ain't had a hand in almost all this time.
He did
that too, but I digress. The fact was, there are only but a handful of players that are true game changers, and they're not all quarterbacks. You know, everybody knew that Matt was a beast. And
Michael, 2 years later, wanted Khalil Mack back, and Chicago said, we ain't gonna do anything.
And people in hell want ice water. Guess who ain't going to get that either?
How about that? Now, gentlemen.
Mike, I do have some breaking news. The women of Baltimore can put their clothes back on. The Orioles have finally won a game. They broke their 19-game losing streak. So that smell you hear coming off of Chesapeake Bay is basically all the women who basically said that they would run around naked until the Orioles win a game now.
I guess you can put the old bay away, everybody.
yes.
Oh, I have a bulletin for you as well. Apparently, Rachel Nichols has been let go by the mom.
They're canceling their show. They're canceling their show.
So the jump.
It's typical Mouse, you know, basically taking a brick, you know, basically taking deck chairs off the Titanic. So nobody was really, you know, it was just another one of their loud yelling shows. So they figured, okay, we're gonna get more, you know, we're gonna get a different loud yelling show now this time.
But Maria Taylor seems like she's landed on her feet. Now, because this chick is related to Diane Sawyer, I'm sure she's going to get connects to a spot somewhere.
I believe Cartoon Network is looking for somebody to fill in for Spinning Tape, so I'm sure she'll
win.
Yes.
But you're right.
Yeah.
You know, she'll land on her feet because they don't want them to touch the ground. She's too white to have that happen to her. But I will say this, that the energy that was needed to force her out was indicative of what we're talking about now. You know, she caused her own demise when she was hating on the other sister. And for what? Because she did her due diligence better, or because she worked hard, or because she was liked by her colleagues, or whatever the deal was, she was prepared, she was ready? You know, is that the reason why you had a problem with her? Because that's exactly what the fuck it sounded like when you got caught on the hot mic.
I'll say it one more time. Still, African-American reporters, African-American writers, African-American players on the field, on the gridiron, on the diamond, on the pitch.
Yep.
So they stand up and they. That's why I like Bob Ali. That's why I love Bob Ali. Ali said, I ain't going. Do what you want to do. I ain't going. And today, see, today, money has become more important. They don't. That's why I love Colin Kaepernick. Because Colin Kaepernick says, I don't need this.
Exactly.
I don't need this.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, brothers and sisters that would say that, like Naomi Osaka.
And this just in, Colin Kaepernick is black. From all the other stupid shit you want to say about it. The kid is black.
Are you sure?
If he had an epiphany about his blackness at 15 or 21 or whatever the fuck age it was, that doesn't make him any less black.
Oh, okay.
But see, these white people manipulate them so that they can't say anything.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. That is wrong.
Remember, they went after this kid, they wrote an article about him and said he was a thug because the asshole who wrote the article didn't bother to find out that the tattoos were Bible verses. But you know, oh, don't worry about that. We can say what we want to say. That's why I dislike the sloppiness and the laziness of the preparation, in addition to the wanting to pile on by some black people in the media when they don't really have a fucking clue as to what the real issue is.
Well, Mike, I hope you don't include. I don't know the gentleman's name. The fat bald head dude that sits up and tries to talk popular all the time, proper all the time.
Jason Whitlock.
Jason Hammer.
Noah Nowalki, who wrote an article on Cam Newton, right?
Yes.
One year later, what does he do? He does it again.
He's working for himself.
Right?
That's right. That's right.
Well, nobody gave her the egg.
Nope.
Check him. The Gary Gray checked him. And said, we have it.
That's right.
So after the article came out, no one in Milwaukee disappeared. Why?
That's right.
Why?
He had done exactly a job. But the NFL gave him a fucking job. You would think.
They gave a blank check, boy. They gave a blank check.
You would think if somebody would stir up that much vitriol that they would be a threat and a possible something deleterious to the process as opposed to being an asset. But they gave him a fucking full-time job. And Cam Newton's appearance is what really bothers them. Yeah, Cody, Tony, you were mentioning C.J. Memphis from A Soldier Story. You know, that's Cam. Cam is a cleaned-up version, a more modernized version, but he's C.J. Memphis. He what they say, natural strong. You know, he's got all these other attributes. He's charismatic in his own way, and they can't stand him for it. The year he went off and got 15-1 and got the MVP, it was clearly a margin so that it designed in that he was the best player in the league that year. And Fred, I don't know why you said what you said about that Super Bowl, but I believe that you were right, that somebody told him to do a Sonny Liston and tank that game because he played nothing like he did in ideal circumstances.
And I don't think he's been right ever since. And I really
He hasn't been right ever since. No. Is that issues with some injury?
Where the game too, because we're going Gabri with Super Bowl. And the third break,
yeah. Now, you know, that's funny you say that, G, because I don't think anybody has ever really complained about the fact that the lights went out for 45 minutes. You know, we just took it in stride, and the game carried on. But that 45 minutes meant a lot for people to get themselves together. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
to gather themselves and all that stuff. Seriously,
has anybody on the thread here heard
about that?
No. Well, the thing I remember the most was when they had their little pseudo halftime. You had Bill Cowher saying that right now the 49ers need to go with Alex Smith. I'll never forget that. I will never forget that. It's like, really, this guy's brought them all the way to the Super Bowl, but because the lights are going out, you want to, literally, he became afraid of the dark in both instances.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So,
I just want to briefly get back
to Miss Nichols. Gary, if I can, I just want to get briefly back to Miss Nichols because clearly she overplayed her hand. If she said what she said with the hope that somebody was going to help her out, it didn't work, you know. And if she ends up at CBS or Fox or Crocs or whatever else, you know, we know she's going to end up with a job because she's white and she's protected. But, you know, what does this say for Maria Taylor? Can we give Maria Taylor credit for being good at what she does and she's subsequently rewarded for it? Or will people forget about that?
Put it this way. I think her resume and her continuing growing resume will speak louder than anything else because Vanessa Williams, the former Miss America, she said something very prophetic. You know, I guess, you know, success, having success after incredible failure, all it does is it just makes the bastard feel even worse. Because let's face it, after that whole scandal, Vanessa Williams was supposed to fall off the face of the earth. But instead, she became, she became one of the most influential entertainers of all time. You know, a singer, an actress, and all of that.
The only woman to be outed for business. You know what I know. Everybody else on the train knows.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
You're a beauty contest. Guess what? You do that all the time.
Let's be completely honest here. One of the quote unquote icons of the acting industry basically made her bones, you know, taking her clothes off, and that's Marilyn Monroe.
First lady of the United States. Hello, get out of here!
To be honest with you, you know, when she had clothes on,
she became a bigger star than the person who actually won the pageant. You know, Suzette Charles never got any further than being Suzette Charles.